Genesis chapter 16, we're going to be looking at the entire chapter. I've entitled the message tonight, Do Not Miss God's Best. Do not miss God's best. Someone has said, when God bolts the door, don't try to get through the window. And that's good advice. God bolts the door, don't try to get through the window. God had not yet opened the door for Abram and Sarai to have a son, and they chose to climb through the window and get a son their way. And they missed God's best for their life as a result. And that is something we can avoid if we will just learn from some of the lessons we're going to see here tonight in this chapter. Now, I want us to notice several reasons that Abram and Sarai missed God's best for their life. Several reasons, five of them exact. The first one is impatience. Impatience. We read in verse number 1, Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Impatience. Abram and Sarai became impatient with God. Sarai was barren. She wanted a child. And she got frustrated waiting for God. God had said he was going to give him a child. God said they were going to give him a son. She was an old woman now, and she was getting impatient and starting to wonder whether it could ever possibly happen. And so she's trying to plot a way around this. And Abram, he too was frustrated, and God had given this promise 10 years earlier, and he'd been waiting for 10 years for this child, and still no child. And he's getting older and older all the time, and by this time he was an old man. And God had promised to give them a son, and yet that promise was not fulfilled. And they began to question God's promise, and they became impatient. And you know, if we're not careful, many times we get impatient with God. We believe that God's going to do something, we're praying about something, or we're waiting on God to do something that we've trusted Him to do. Maybe we're trying to get over an issue, or get better, or whatever it may be, and we're praying and trusting God, but we start getting impatient. And we need to learn from their mistake here this evening. Chuck Swindoll made this statement. He said, true patience is waiting without worrying. And I thought that's pretty good. True patience is waiting without worrying. And that is what we need to learn to do. Impatience will cause us to miss God's best. I read an interesting story that I think can be help us to understand this point. A man's car stalled in heavy traffic at the stoplight. And when the light turned green, he tried and tried and tried to get his car started, and he could not get it started. And the cars behind him were blowing the horns and honking at him, trying to get him to move, but he couldn't do anything. He couldn't get the car started. So finally, after quite some time of just getting very frustrated, he got out of the car, walked back to the car right behind him that was blowing its horn and blowing its horn. He says, Excuse me, sir, but I'm having trouble getting my car started. Would you come up here and try starting my car, and I'll stay here and blow the horn for you? Many times we get impatient. We get impatient. And if we are not careful, we can get impatient with God as well. And we will jump ahead of God's best for our lives and end up in a mess. And that's exactly what happened to Abram and Sarai. They got impatient with God, and it ended up in a mess. You know, God urges us to wait on Him. You never notice that throughout the Psalms, especially we read a lot of verses that talk about waiting on the Lord. Isaiah talks about waiting on the Lord. For example, Psalm 27, verse 14, Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What is He saying? He's saying, be patient. Wait on the Lord. Just trust Him and wait for Him. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God says, wait on me. Wait on me. Be patient. I know what I'm doing. I'm not running behind. God doesn't forget what's going on. He doesn't keep track of time and say, oh, boy, I'm 5 minutes late. I'm sorry. I've got to go hurry up. God doesn't do that. God's never late. God is never late. And that's important for us to remember. But Abram and Sarai got impatient with God. Second thing we see here that they did is Abram and Sarai missed God's best because of selfishness. Selfishness. Abram and Sarai were thinking of themselves. And Sarai wanted a child, and she had been barren, and being barren was a shame in those days. Every woman wanted a child, and she didn't have one, and she's an old woman now, and getting older by the day, and was concerned about this. And Abram, he agreed to marry Hagar, but he didn't love Hagar. Look at down in verse number 6. This is after he had married Hagar, and after she conceived. And it says here in verse 6, "But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face." I mean, is there much love there? I don't think any love at all. She said, oh, she's your maid. Do what you want with her. If you don't like the fact that she's, you know, going to have a child, then do what you want to her. Be as hard on her as you want to. It doesn't matter to me. There was no love there. He just went along with this because he too wanted an heir. He wanted a child. That's all he was interested in. He wanted an heir. God said, I'm going to give you a son. And he said, I need a son. And God's not giving me a son, so I got to figure out some way to help God out here. And so he was selfish in this. Selfishness of both Abram and Sarai caused them much grief. And they got what they wanted, but they missed God's best. They got what they wanted. They wanted a child, and through Hagar, they got a child. But that's not what God wanted. That wasn't God's plan. And we find many examples of others in the Bible who were selfish, and it caused them a lot of grief. Let me give you a few examples. Achan. What did Achan want? Achan wanted riches. Remember, Achan was one of the soldiers that fought against Jericho. And when the city was defeated, Achan saw some beautiful garments and some valuables, and he said, I've got to have that. God said no. And Achan took it anyway. What happened? Oh, he got what he wanted, but it ended up killing him. It took his life. He lost his life because of it. Another example is Absalom. Absalom was King David's son. And Absalom decided, I'm old enough, and Dad's doing a pretty shabby job. It's time for me to take over the kingdom. I want the kingdom. And he tried to overthrow his father, and he ended up dying in the battle. Lost his life because he wanted something selfishly. Another one was Jonah. What did Jonah want? Well, Jonah said, or God told Jonah, he says, go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh. And so Jonah did what he wanted to do, fled, got on a ship, took off the other way. He ended up spending 3 days in the belly of a fish. Not a very good option. He got what he wanted, but it didn't pay. Ananias and Sapphira, what did they want? Well, they wanted praise. They said, we're going to sell some land, and we'll tell everybody that we sold it for this much, but we really sold it for a little bit more than that, and we can keep some of the extra, and we'll get all the praise, and everybody will think we're such wonderful people, and yet we'll still have some extra spending money on our own. And they got what they wanted, but they ended up losing their lives because of it. See, God's best is what we need. We don't want our best. We want God's best. And that's what we need to focus on. Abram and Sarai were selfish, and it got them into trouble. And selfishness will also cause us to miss God's best for our life. Selfishness is looking through looking through a telescope. You know, if you have a telescope and you put it up and you look at some faraway thing, you can see that thing, but you can't see anything around it. It's got a narrow funnel focus. And so it is. Selfishness is just looking at the one thing I want, and we're not thinking about all the other things around it. What's this going to do? We need to be careful about that. You know, Jesus urges us to deny ourselves. Mark chapter 8, verse 34, where he says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Did Jesus live what he preached? He did. For we find over in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42, as he was preparing to go to the cross, he prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done." And so he wanted to do what the Father wanted him to do. And if you make life's choices based on what pleases yourself, most of the time we're going to miss God's best. We've got to say, "God, what do you want for my life? What do you want me to do in this situation? What kind of work do you want me to do? Who do you want me to marry? Where do you want me to live? What do you want me to do? What kind of car do you want me to have? What is your will for my life?" We need to ask God all these questions and say, "God, I want to do what you want me to do. Lead me and show me." So they miss God's best because of impatience, because of selfishness, but also because of rationalism. Rationalism. What do I mean by that? Well, Abraham and Sarai followed human reasoning. From a rational point of view, based on their reason, Sarai knew that her chances of having a son were very slim. I mean, she's 75-some years old. She's getting older and older. How many women, 75, do you know that are out there having kids? It just doesn't happen. And so she knew that the chances of that were very, very slim. She also reasoned that since polygamy was accepted in the among the surrounding heathen, that maybe they could help God out by just going along that route. You know, just let Abram marry our handmaiden, and I'll claim her child, and we'll get our son. And they're trying to help out God through human reasoning. Abram hearkened unto her, and he followed the sinful human reasoning of the society too. He said, "Well, everybody else is doing it. I guess it's okay." And we need to be very careful as our society gets more and more corrupt and more wickedness is becoming acceptable. Oftentimes in Christians' minds, we start thinking, "Well, it's not all that bad, and everybody else is doing it." And a lot of Christians are doing things today that 50 years ago they wouldn't have dreamed of doing because they have accepted what the world says is okay. And so we need to be very careful about human reasoning and rationalism. Rationalism will cause us to miss God's best. It's dangerous to think that we know better than God. Years ago, I met a man over in Clarkson, young man, and he told me he was a Christian. I started getting a little bit of a conversation with him. And in the course of the conversation, he told me he was living with his girlfriend. And I said, "Well, what does God say about you living with your girlfriend?" He says, "Oh, I know. The Bible says that's not right." But he says, "I think God understands." I thought, yeah, right. God understands. When God says it's wrong, and yet God understands my situation, so it's okay. Rationalism. That kind of thinking may be rational, but it's not biblical. And God's way is always the right way and the best way. We need to follow God's will. God said in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God sees things we can't see. He sees things from a different perspective than we see. He sees the overall, and we only see a little tiny bit of it. I remember years ago someone described this to me by with the illustration of a cross stitch. Some of you ladies maybe have done some cross stitch. And on the top, it looks so beautiful, and you're pushing your thread through there and make it, and it looks so nice, but you turn it over and you think, "What a mess." And we look at life from the bottom. We're looking up at God's cross stitch and say, "Lord, it sure looks like a mess to me." And God's looking down at it and says, "Looks beautiful to me." Because God can see the whole picture and he knows exactly what he's doing. And so we need to be very careful that we follow God's will and not our way. Rationalism will end us up in trouble. God sees the beginning and the end. He knows what is best, and we need to rest in his choices instead of ours. The fourth thing that they did is they were depending on imprudence. They were imprudent in their decision that they made. What do I mean by that? Abraham and Sarai lacked biblical caution, prudence, caution. I realize that Abram did not have a Bible. You know, you stop and think about that. Sometimes we forget those kind of things. Abram couldn't go to the shelf and pull off his Bible and open it up to Genesis chapter 15 or 16 and read something. He couldn't do that. He didn't have a Bible. There was no such thing. But it wasn't like he didn't know anything about God. Now, he was young enough, or he was early enough in history, that he could have talked to some of the very people that were from way, way, way back and got some firsthand information from many of them. He would have talked to his ancestors about creation and the fall and the flood and the Tower of Babel. All of that was news that he would have known a lot about. He knew a lot about God. Not only that, but Abram did something that we have never done. He had a firsthand talk with God on a couple occasions. And so Abram was not ignorant, but he was imprudent in this decision. He should have been more cautious and prudent. When Sarai came to him and said, "Come on, Abram, I really need a boy. I need a baby. Why don't you just marry my handmaid?" He should have said, "Absolutely not, Sarai. That's not what God said. He said he's going to give you a child." And he should have stuck with it and said no, but he didn't. He didn't use that prudence that he should have used. And he went along with it, even though he knew that as he looked back on creation, he knew that God created Adam, one wife, not two or three. He knew that. But yet, he lacked prudence. Imprudence will cause us to miss God's will as well. You know, we have God's Word, the Bible. We can look into it, and it gives us direction and insight and wisdom and all sorts of topics and subjects that God addresses very clearly. Someone wisely said that the Bible is God's mind concerning everything that we need to know to please Him in this life and to live for Him in eternity. It's everything we need to know. God has given us everything that He knows that you and I would need during this life to be all that God wants us to be right here in this book. And it's important for us to understand that and believe that and trust that, because this is the book that can guide us if we will depend upon it. But you know, there's some things in life that aren't mentioned in the Bible. You say, "Well, what do I do now? It's not even mentioned in the Bible." You know, I grew up in the 70s. I was in high school in the 70s, and back in those days, it was just when drugs were getting in, you know, popular, and you know, a lot of the guys in my high school were on smoking marijuana and things of that nature. And you can go to the Bible and say, "All right, what verse in the Bible says, 'Thou shalt not smoke marijuana'?" I'm sorry, there isn't one. Well, I guess it's okay then, because there's no verse in the Bible that says you can't. No. What we need to do is we need to look for principles. Are there any principles in the Bible that says that that would not be wise? Yeah. There's lots of principles in the Bible that talk about those kind of things. For example, over there in Corinthians, where it says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. If our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, then that means that I should not do anything to my body that would harm it in any way. Whether it be some substance abuse, like marijuana, or smoking, or alcohol, or something else that is going to harm my body, that's wrong. And God says that I must not do that. Now, there's a principle there. Even though it doesn't have it right in there, "Thou shalt not smoke marijuana," it very clearly says that I am not to allow my body to be abused because it belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me. And I don't dare do that because this is not my body, it's God's. He bought it. It says, paid for, price, the price was paid. And there you find that in 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, and also in chapter 6, about 17 or 18, somewhere in there, of 1 Corinthians. Now, the Bible is to be our guide. Remember what Psalm 119, 105 says? The word is a lamp under my feet, a light under my path. The Bible is to direct us and guide us. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him." So we need to ask God and say, God, I need your wisdom. I need to know what you want. Show me your will, God. Open your path. I want to know. And you know, if we genuinely come to God with an open heart and say, God, I want to know what you want me to do, God will direct us. Melody and I have seen that over and over and over again in our lives as we came to God and pled with God and said, God, we really need to know what you want. We don't know what to do. And God would just direct us and give us peace and open the door up and show us what he wants. Now, did we ever, you know, hear some audible voice? No. Did we see writing in the sky? No. But God gives you peace inside as we discuss it and work through it and look through the scriptures and we talk about it. You know, there's many times when, even when we're just praying about it, as we're praying together about it, in my heart, just then it's like, oh, this just isn't right. We can't do that. Or, yes, we need to do that. Depends on the situation of what. God just gives you peace right away or shows you and gives you direction. So we need to spend time with God and seeking God's mind and praying about things that we may know his will. Spending time in the Bible is very key. Know the Bible well so you can get directions from God. Charles Spurgeon, great preacher of the past, said, a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. And that is very true. You know, we need to spend time in the Bible. And that's what one of the first things the devil does to us is to get us so busy that we don't have time to really focus on the Bible. We may still read a couple of verses to make our conscience feel better, but we aren't really focusing on it. We need to spend time in the Bible. It's our book, our guide, our encouragement, and our help. God urges us to test all the decisions that we make. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. Remember those verses? Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And abstain from all appearance of evil. Very important. That is a key to being able to make right choices in life. And to be discerning. And to be prudent. Like what the former president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, said. Sadly, the newer presidents wouldn't say this, but he said, within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face. Pretty good advice. Within the pages of the Bible are all the answers we need. Right here. We need to stick to the Bible. But Abram and Sarai, they did not do that. They followed their own leading. They were imprudent. They were not careful and cautious like they should be. And it led them into trouble. We find the fifth mistake that they made, and that was prayerlessness. You read this whole section, and you don't find any word where Abram said, Sarai, listen, all right, let's just spend some time with God in prayer and ask God about it. They didn't pray about it. Sarai presented to Abram, and she's pleading and said, this will solve the problem. And Abram says, well, oh, okay. And he hearkened unto the voice of her in verse 2. And so he marries her, she conceives, and she's going to have a son. And we read down in verse number 8 that the angel of the Lord found Hagar as she ran away after Sarai was cruel to her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by a fountain in the way of Shur. And the angel said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither goest thou? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel said unto her, angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, now catch this, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. Now, was that good or bad? Who are the descendants of Ishmael? The Arabs. The very enemies of Israel today. Multiplied like the sand of the sea. Because they were Abram's seed. But it all happened because they got ahead of God. And they didn't wait on God. And it caused great trouble. Very sad. Prayerlessness will also cause us to miss God's best for our lives. You know, if we don't pray, we're going to not know what God wants us to do. We must pray and continue to pray until we know the mind of God. Sometimes we may pray a little bit, but not really even seek the mind of God, or not even know for sure what God wants, and we make a decision, and it still really wasn't guided by God. But we need to keep praying until God gives us peace. If we don't, we may get what we want, but we may miss God's best for our life. We don't want to do that. Our prayers, think about this now, our prayers must not be an attempt to twist God's arm, but a submissive desire to discover God's will. We're not talking to God and say, come on, God, come on, please, give in, let me have it. That's not what our prayer should be. Our prayer should be, God, not my will, but thine be done. Show me what you want. I want what you want. Just open my eyes so I can see what you want, so I can do what you want me to do. That needs to be our prayer, a submissive desire to discover God's will. And we must have an attitude like the psalmist who said in Psalm 86:11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Teach me thy way. We're going to sing that song in a few moments. Great song. A song of submission and desire. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy way. Unite my heart to fear thy name. God forgave Abram and later gave him a son by Sarai. We'll see that in the chapters to come. But the consequences of that was caused by their poor choice and his choice of marrying Hagar continue today. Sad situation. Do not miss God's best for your life. Be patient, selfless, biblical, prudent, and prayerful. Put God first in your life. And if God shuts the door and you've climbed through the window, then confess your sin and seek God's forgiveness and seek to follow His best from now on. You know, I'm sure all of us a time or two have climbed through the window. We've said, God, but I really, really want this. And God doesn't seem to open the door, but we wiggle our way in and we crawl through the window, get what we want. And then later regret it and think, oh, I made a mess of that. So we need to focus on this and make sure that we're seeking to please the Lord and seek what God wants for our lives. So as you look at your future and the days ahead, and the decisions you're going to have to make, each of us make decisions on a regular basis. And we can be like Abram and Sarai and do it our way and be impatient with God and say, God, I don't know why you're taking so long, but I'm going to do it this way because you're just taking so long. We can be selfish. We can be rational and say, what everybody else is doing it, so I guess I might as well too. And we can be imprudent and prayerless. But how much better it would be for us to just wait on God and trust God, depend upon God, and let God lead us and direct us in our lives. I challenge you tonight. Let's do that. Let's wait on God and let God lead us like He wants to. And you'll be a lot better off, and you won't miss God's best for your life if you'll do that.